Welcome to Leadership Everywhere, the podcast on leadership in the 21st century. To ask questions and search for answers is a central aspect of our humanity. This is a creative act. In this podcast, I ask questions about leadership and explore them with you. By asking questions, I want to stimulate your imagination and create new images of leadership. This is episode 4 and it's dedicated to women. What do women think about careers, about advancing to leadership positions? Does it make sense to design programs specifically for women? Are there perhaps totally different aspects we have to look at? To get more insights into these topics, I have invited a very competent and highly esteemed colleague, Nora Heger. Nora is business coach and principal director for leadership development at a leading consultancy firm in Berlin. As the interview was in German, I'm summarizing it for my non-German speaking audience. Here is the first issue we discussed. More than half of the university graduates are women, and most of them enter the world of work with confidence and enthusiasm. And then years later, we look at leadership positions, and there are relatively few of them. What happens in between? And what role do special programs and mentoring specifically designed for women play? Do we really need something like Fix the Women? Nora's take on this is that it's certainly not about fixing the women, but it is about creating a working world in which different ways of living and working are possible. And women are spearheading this, because they are able to live out and demand many of the things that men would also like to see happen. Targeted programs for women help to create a critical mass. They provide a safe space and at the same time a stage where women can try themselves out and perform in a concentrated way. The program Nora runs at her organization includes also male views and male perspectives and has male sponsors, so that from a gender perspective, things can actually grow together. The most prominent topic for women is to gain visibility and all that's connected to it, to create stages for herself, to find out her own theme, the thing she stands for, and then create a corresponding network, visibility, and stages. Beyond that, there are topics of compatibility, and thus also for the concrete work organization and life situation of women. This led to my next question, how the phases of women's lives fit together with the phase in organizations when advancement is actually programmed. Most women who want children get them between 30 and 40. But between 30 and 40 is exactly the decade when organizations very strongly set the course for a professional career. It's the period of the stretch assignments, the time to raise your hand for new tasks, to take on more responsibility, all the stuff that makes you visible. And this is now falling right into the phase when many women are engaged in family planning and then tend to stand back rather than raise their hands. On the other hand, Nora maintained, if this were the only reason why women are underrepresented at the top, then we should have a 50-50 distribution of childless women in leadership positions compared to men. We do not have that. So somehow there seems to be something else. A certain socialization, or the fact that there are not enough role models, or missing networks, or the well-known dynamics that managers try to favor their younger self. All these things are there, and at the same time, the topic of family and children is there. The issue is to think bigger and to think beyond women. Because these children who are born also have a father. And most fathers want to do just that, to spend time with their family and still continue to advance their career and not be looked at in a funny way. It's quite clear that our society and companies still function differently at the moment. And men have to fight against prejudice just like women do, when they want to reduce working hours, for example, or when men want to work in what is called a typical woman's job. In this respect, it is a matter of giving men also the space they need, because this in turn gives women another space and other possibilities. The next question we examined was whether these so-called female qualities, for example, teamwork, empathy, connection, would give women a competitive edge in today's world. These characteristics are getting more and more attention. Companies need to be agile. They have to be able to survive in global competition. This can best be achieved through cooperation and empowering many. So I asked, is the boss of the future a woman, because they already have these qualities? Nora observes that these qualities are indeed on the rise and help to get more women into leadership positions. The CEO of her organization is a woman. But the point is that men also have these abilities and are living and acting them more and more. The skills that were perhaps smiled at in the past or not quite so highly valued are now seen as essential regardless of whether woman or man. The issue here is that we need to develop a new profile for leaders, combining all the components needed for good leadership in the 21st century. And that doesn't depend on whether it's a woman or a man. However, there is another interesting phenomenon. Job advertisements, particularly for management positions, very often look for the all-in-one Wonder Woman or Wonder Man. Now I hear again and again that women are more likely to be put off by these criteria because they think that they don't fulfill them. Men are more inclined to see this like a sports competition and say, well, that's me, I'm just going to apply and see how far I get. Both Nora and I have seen it happen that women are less confident to step into the ring and say, I try, I go for it. This observation has also been confirmed by studies. So now the point is to act against it all the more strongly and strengthening women accordingly. Dear women, trust yourself, do the best you can, and take it sportsmanlike, whatever is the outcome. Nora underlines this and says this is not only true for job applications, it also holds true for other tasks, presentations, initiatives, whatsoever. The leadership program she runs at her organization has the slogan, "Make it your game." Make, in order to signify, take things into your own hand, and game, signifying it's not all that serious, it's a game. That's also what I stress in my sit in the driver's seat leadership model. Be daring, know and trust your abilities, and know that you might fail, but it will not stop you from trying again. Coming back to the different phases of life, I observe in my coaching practice that women between 40 and 50 are often ready to restart or kickstart another career. They are done with family obligations or want to push forward. So my question to Nora was, how can we encourage these women and what's being done for them in the workplace? Nora says that the most important thing for organizations is to avoid conscious or unconscious bias. So have a very close look who these women are. Everyone is entitled to want to really go full throttle again. Nora points out that it's also possible when working part-time. She herself has been working part-time for many years now and also coaches clients who do or want to do this. Part-time work is not equivalent to no ambition. The next step then is to give concrete career advice, That can be coaching. That can be mentoring from a senior colleague. That can be a group coaching session where the cohesion of the women who really want to make a difference and are all in the same situation creates a very special strength and solidarity. We also looked at constraints within organizations. Nora observes that things are slowly changing, but a lot still needs to be done. For one thing, it's human that bosses look for people who are similar to themselves as a foster son or daughter, and that's why we currently have mainly male colleagues at the top. It's a chain reaction. That makes it so important that we bring women to the top, so that the juniors have role models and corresponding networks can form. It is important that men become aware that women think differently about certain things. It doesn't hurt to keep bringing up the fact that diverse teams contribute to the success of the company. That's well known by now. And it is not just talking about different genders here, but also diversity in terms of attitude, background, education, etc. I asked Nora what decision makers then concretely do to enable women to play a full part. Here is Nora's advice. Decision makers can first of all look who in their environment has potential. They can have concrete discussions with female colleagues in order to validate this. And it is not necessarily about striving for the highest of all positions, but that these women can push important topics further themselves. Decision makers can use their influence to give women an opportunity to prove themselves, for example, in presentations for certain roles and tasks. They can open their own networks for them. They can invite junior colleagues to shadow them for a day and then reflect on it. Or they can initiate reverse mentoring, where junior colleagues mentor an older colleague and vice versa. They can offer external coaching, etc. But it is also important to give them attention, to express praise publicly, to strengthen them, and to make that normal. So nobody says, oh look, and there's even a woman in this position. What we concluded from this discussion is that we have to create a working world that allows women and men to participate equally. And that must be a working world that fits life and the different demands that women and men face in various phases of their lives. Here are Nora's final words as takeaway for our women listeners. Go inside yourself. Think of what moves you. What are your strengths? What do you really enjoy? What would you do even if you didn't have to earn money? You can then find ways to look together with others from your circle of acquaintances, friends, colleagues, superiors, etc., to see where there are opportunities. Don't be shy to seek help from like-minded people, even from others. Let someone from a completely different life context really question this, and then look for possibilities to make things easy. Do not be afraid of failure or defeat. Just stand up again. Do it again, do it better, and grow with every step, and really see what you do as an opportunity to grow. The only thing I can add to this wonderful closing is, dear women, think big. Don't limit yourself from the beginning. Much is possible with self-confidence, with perseverance, and courage. And it's also important to think across all phases of life. A new start and a restart is also possible at 40 and 50. This may require a different approach, but it's possible. Sit in the driver's seat and make it your game. That's what we'd encourage you to do. Dear listeners, this was a summary of my conversation with Nora Heger, Business Coach and Principal Director for Leadership Development in Berlin. You hear again from me in 2 weeks, then with a men's special. We look at work, life, career and the issues connected to these from a male perspective. I'm looking forward to your suggestions, feedback, objections, and questions. You will find further information and my contact details in the show notes. My articles, blog posts, and tips can be found on my website www.abado-coaching.com. And now the little bon mot for the road. There is a special place in hell for women who do not help other women. Madeleine Albright. Keep well and stay tuned. Yours, Gabriela Abado.